This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Clocks at one. They will snap the ball. This will be the final play. Leonard steps up. He rolls right. He's going to throw back across the middle. Greathouse makes the catch. He's tackled at the 40. That's the end of the football game. The Ohio State Buckeyes have won the national championship, and Notre Dame's season comes up one game short.
So many fans of the Fighting Irish were there every step of the way with Notre Dame as they made the first 12-team college football playoff national championship game, but as was the case with the majority of the teams in the postseason, not able to hang with Ohio State, certainly not able to take down the Ohio State University Buckeyes. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Final hour here with you on this Tuesday evening. And we, of course, tend to focus a lot on the Bears and professional sports in this town, but when there are big college football and college sports news happening, we try to get that involved in the station as well. So let's go back out to the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. You can download the Circus Sports app today. Talk to my guy, Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com. You can find him on Twitter at Pete Futek. What's happening, Pete? How are you doing this evening?
Mr. Ant, how are you doing? I actually saw you the other day when I had to clear out the closet, the office closet here at home. I still have a thing from the backdrop of the first Campus Insider set, so that somehow I've saved this picture of an Oklahoma the cheerleaders or whatever that was on the first set with stuff on the back in the SkyPoint old Oprah studios. So I found that the other day.
Very nice. Myself, you, Brian McFadden over at Harpo back in the day, just trying to kick off this whole digital broadcast world that everybody operates in now. We were kind of the pioneers, I guess, if you will.
Absolutely. In a whole slew of certain ways. And a good job, by the way, saying the Ohio State University. Because if you just say Ohio State University, Buckeye fans get confused. There might be a couple of them, so you have to say the, otherwise they'll kind of get a little lost.
Right. You don't want anyone getting up in arms or getting discombobulated about what the actual name of their institution is. And since the Ohio State University won the college football playoff national championship, so now you've got back-to-back years where the Big Ten wins it all. And so that does seem to have added, I guess, a bit of credibility to the idea that not only the Southeastern Conference being the power player in the sport, but the Big Ten, it seemed like revenue and interest and ratings were kind of the main thing the Big Ten was able to hang up as a banner to say that, hey, yeah, we're the big dogs on the block. Now back-to-back national titles in the Big Ten, I suppose the credibility that it can throw its weight around with is even enhanced now that they're winning championships in football. And now the storyline from the recent days here is that the Big Ten and the SEC are partnering up to essentially decide the future of intercollegiate athletics. What do you make of some of the news that's been out there with the Big Ten and the SEC saying that we are now, since there's no commissioner of college football, these two leagues are going to be setting the rules of how this sport operates moving forward.
Little Elon Doges of them, isn't it? They're just going to just go run in and take over this thing. Look, well, there's a couple parts to this, at least when it comes to football. And this was the thing I was trying to yell at everyone during the college football playoff, was that this isn't going to be the NCAA tournament. You're not going to get central directional state, you know, get hot from three and take down Duke or anything like that. You're not, even if you do, even if you had a Boise State come up with a win, they're not coming up with two, and they're definitely not coming up with three. So you're not going to get a Cinderella in this thing. So, of course, I mean, again, I'm not, you know this, I'm not very bright. I'm not, and I had Ohio, last year at this time, Ohio State was the national champion. They had the best team. It was Ohio State or Georgia. They're the two best teams, talent-wise, in the country. Georgia didn't play up to it, lose Carson Beck. Ohio State finally wakes up, and after they quit crying over their, you know, loss to Michigan, and say, oh, my God, our year's over. All right, then go win the national championship, and they did. So, like, it's going to be the powerhouses. And you're right, when it comes to money, it's not just, it's like, yes, you can go get a Caleb Downs. You can go get these players. That's how the game is played now. And you can get a Chip Kelly as your offensive coordinator. So I like these, like, doom and gloom February articles and pieces like, well, Ohio State, you know, how are they going to replace all those players? Well, money. And so, to your point, the SEC might be, you know, the best football conference talent-wise, top to bottom for the most part. And we're going to see this again in the NFL draft when, like, 48% of the draft is going to be SEC and Big Ten. But you're right. When it comes to revenue, it's the Big Ten and a 50-foot drop-off, then the SEC, and then a 100-foot drop-off and everyone else.
And with that in mind, now that the Big Ten and the SEC, with the potential for the college football playoff expanding beyond 12 teams, we just had the biggest playoff in the history of Western civilization. And now there's talks already ensuing where the expectation is that it'll expand to 14 teams and or 16 teams. And, you know, the NCAA basketball tournament talking about expansion as well. Is there a threshold here in the football space where it becomes a bit too much, where you dilute the product, where perhaps you exclude fan bases with the Big Ten and the SEC saying we're going to have at least four bids from each of these two leagues, maybe add a fifth into that in certain years? And it feels like this playoff that's expanding, but if it's still just kind of exclusive to the two leagues, is that a dangerous space to operate in?
Yeah, a lot. There's a fine line. It's a lot to work with there. And let's start with the idea that you're talking about two different things. Nobody cares about the college basketball regular season. I mean, seriously, you know, put it out there. You know, ask the average man on the street to, or woman on the street to, name a college basketball player. Oh, there's that, you know, Cooper guy out in Duke, and there's just no star power. But once March Madness comes, everyone's going to watch. So that's its own animal. And then think of it this way. If you're including the play-in games, it's something crazy like 68% of all NBA teams make the playoffs. You've got like 48% or whatever it is of the NFL teams. You know, you have to just try really hard not to make the NHL playoffs. So you have all these regular seasons which are irrelevant. I mean, the NFL is obviously the one that is relevant, but you seriously don't need to watch an NBA game until a couple months from now, and then you're going to be good. Then it's awesome. Then the playoffs are amazing. Football in college is a different animal because these games are a big deal. Even like the Michigan-Ohio State game. I mean, they're still hurting over this, and that still stinks, but that was these games still matter, and what we're finding out more and more in this first season was schedules matter. So the regular season does make a difference, and it's still hard to get in. Even if you expand to 16 teams, you're only talking about like 15% of all college football teams are going to make the college football playoffs. So it's still really hard to do, but as long as you have a mechanism where you can play your way in, Big 12 champion is in, ACC champion, you're in, all the Power 4 champions, and, you know, throw a cookie to that, you know, Group of 5 champion. If long as you get those teams in, then everyone else, fine, whatever. Because at that point, you've said, all right, if you want to, you know, get in the college football playoff, go win your conference championship. and then you got a shot at it.
And with that shot, now we'll see the Big Ten right now sitting at 18 teams, the SEC sitting at 16 teams. And to have those two teams, those two leagues being the most prominent, the most lucrative, and for the most part having the most teams, I mean, 34 teams between the two leagues. So gobbling up that much of the college football playoff, even if it goes to a 16-team format, having that many of the teams, if it's four from each league as kind of the guarantee, that's half of that league from the Big Ten and the ACE and the SEC. Is that a, I suppose, is that enough? Because it doesn't sound like any of the other conferences, even what we still think of as a couple of other power conferences, are in a position to do anything about it.
It depends on how they do this. If you're automatically guaranteeing the Big Ten and the SEC these spots, then that stinks. You know, it stinks that it's in the hands of the judges to begin with, but there still has to be some sort of way of being like, come on, you know, the ninth best team should not be in. Just like if you can't win your conference championship, you actually shouldn't be able to win the national championship, but whatever, it's not how the world works anymore. And then there's the other part of this, that the kind of unintended consequences of this, which we saw this year in the playoff, which fan bases aren't used to, where, look, if you let's keep it here at home. Yeah, you didn't make the college football playoff, but if you're an Illinois football fan, how awesome was that? How awesome was watching Brett Bielema, like, get into Shane Beamer's head and make, you know, cinnamon rolls the way that he was just totally, totally killing him in that game. And Illinois beat South Carolina. And if Illinois fans are, you know, how do they think about their season last year? Happy. It was a lot of fun. It's a bowl game. Who cares? It's exhibition. But, yeah, they're all happy. You get in a playoff. There's only one winner. And Georgia fans think last year was a disaster. Notre Dame fans are still catatonic. I mean, I work at the, you know, I handle it at Notre Dame on SI, and all the guys working there, I'm like, I keep being like, you guys went to the national championship. That was an amazing year. It was so much fun. Those games were incredible. Those, you know, the Penn State game was unbelievable. The Georgia game was a blast. And, yeah, there were moments there in the national championship you had a shot. Like, oh, we're never going to win again. Like, it's such a depressing feeling that you forget in the old bowl game days, you had 42 bowls, you had 42 winners. Now there's just one.
Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com, my guest here on The Score. And you mentioned the Notre Dame fans, and there was a space there where it felt like maybe someone, some league somewhere, was going to be able to push Notre Dame into a conference, and it didn't happen, and it's never happened in football. And now you have this opportunity for them where they make the national championship game in this expanded playoff every round.
Keep all the money.
The Irish, yes, they get it to themselves, and they don't have to share it with anyone. Does it make it that much less likely, even if there was even a glimmer of hope that it was going to happen, is it that much less likely now that Notre Dame ever joins a conference?
I mean, they have their friends with benefits deal with the ACC, you know, so that kind of counts. And look, that's a big deal. If you look at the ACC schedules this year, you know, there are a lot of haves and have-nots. I mean, look at the North Carolina schedule, for example. They miss Clemson. I think they've actually played Clemson at home. I got that one wrong. But they miss everybody else, and they miss Notre Dame. So if you're one of those ACC teams, and you're looking at that league, and you're saying, really, SMU is the team we got to worry about, or, you know, NC State, we can take care of that. We can take care of Virginia Tech. But you have to deal with Notre Dame? That stinks. So if you're Notre Dame, yeah, you want to hang around with this deal, because why not? Why would you go to another conference? You know, if you're going to go to another conference, it's going to be the Big Ten, just because it's that much more money. But you don't need to. You've proven it. You can win, and you can play for national championships and keep all the money to yourself and keep your games on, you know, Peacock, where five people watch them when you're playing, you know, Navy or something. So it's you can have it all.
And with Notre Dame right now, for Marcus Freeman, where there were some NFL overtures, they were starting to sort of percolate a little bit. He gets the new deal. He stays in South Bend. And there's talent that's at least being evaluated by the NFL. Most of them will get their shot. Eight players who just played with Notre Dame this past season are going to be at the NFL Combine. That's as many as LSU, as Michigan. You know, we see some of these other programs who we think of as being these NFL factories. Notre Dame is now one of those programs again as well. Do you see where Marcus Freeman has the program at right now as being back in that perennial championship contender type of conversation?
Yeah, they have as many going there as Ohio State has, though. It's, it's all you can reasonably ask. And that's the NCAA tournament argument when it comes to the powerhouse programs, where all you can ask for is just keep getting there every single year with a good team that has a chance, and eventually maybe it should work out where you keep taking that bite, and eventually everything kind of goes your way, and it's your national championship season, and everything kind of works at once. That's kind of what happened at Ohio State this year. But again, the thing to remember is this isn't like any other playoffs. I mean, if you look at the over 150 years, it's been 154 or 5 now, whatever. If you look at the history of college football, like, three schools have won a national championship. There's like you don't have any like quirky outliers in there. It's basically Princeton or Yale for about 50 years. And then there's like Oklahoma, Alabama won it every year. And then, now it's Ohio State, and now it's the big giant schools win. Like, TCU was never going to win it a couple years ago. They got there. So Notre Dame's got which has been one of those programs. Yeah, they're right on the cusp of being there. And, he's staying around because his agent did the brilliant thing, like all agents do, is he floats out there, well, the NFL is going to want my guy, and, we got to give him more money. And so every athletic director falls for it, and so Freeman's still around.
And for the time being, it certainly looks like Notre Dame is right there back in the thick of things where their fans like them to be, even if they lose the big one, as we even saw them doing under Brian Kelly. But if nothing else, they're a bit more likable now, seemingly, with Marcus Freeman running the program.
Oh, Pete, a lot more likable now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Appreciate you, Pete. You are always a good time to talk ball with, man. Thanks a lot.
Later, anytime.
That is Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com. You can find him on social media at Pete Futek, FIUTAK. We'll stick with football here, but go back to the professional realm where the Bears have a fairly enticing situation that they're dealing with over the offseason because there is a lot of capital available, not only in the draft, but financially, and some decisions to make with this roster. We'll kind of lay out what the plan could be or should be as Ben Johnson is paired with Ryan Poles in trying to shape this roster into something that will compete at a high level in the deepest division in football. We'll do that next. I'm Anthony Herron on Twitter at Big Ant Herron. You can find me there on Instagram as well. You can reach out to the show at 670 The Score. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This roster that Ryan's already built, it is stocked, it's loaded. Everyone wants to talk about the quarterback, and Caleb, I'm excited to work with you, but it's going to take more than just you, and there are a lot of pieces already in place, and I can't wait to get to work with the rest of you guys.
The voice of Ben Johnson, Bears head coach. That was probably my favorite moment from his opening press conference. I immediately talked about it afterwards on Fox 32, referenced it on the station the following day here as well. Ben Johnson saying, looking directly at Caleb Williams in the first public opportunity he's had to address the assembled media for Bears fans, to look at him at the lectern and have him address everyone on behalf of the Bears, his introductory presser. Looks directly at Caleb, tells him, excited to work with you, but it's about more than just you. And he meant it in a very positive way, that he didn't want this situation with the Bears to be a circumstance where the entire offense is on the shoulders of Caleb Williams. The entire organization is on the shoulders of Caleb Williams. That's not what led him to success as a play caller in Detroit. He had the head coach, Dan Campbell. He had the organizational structure from top to bottom that didn't ask for the quarterback to lift everything else up and carry the mail for every position group, everything within the organization, every portion of that franchise was not on the shoulders of Jared Goff. And we've seen even some of the greats, veteran quarterbacks, who have done their best work when that's the case. And so that's one thing that you should find very exciting about this Bears offseason, because you saw the talents of Caleb on display and available, but there's also areas to continue to bolster this roster. Yes, it was a team that only won 5 games, went 5-12 last year, but the talent and ability of the roster that Ryan Poles put together is apparent. It's got to be nurtured and developed. But Caleb Williams is obviously a very talented quarterback and had a number of games and stretches of games and late moments where that talent and that production was able to take games over. So for a rookie to do that as frequently as he did is extremely encouraging. DeAndre Swift as a running back, I told you exactly who and what DeAndre Swift was when the Bears first signed him, and he continued to be that guy. I would argue he was even an enhanced version of himself, considering the situation that the Bears were in, with some of his willingness to try and forge ahead in between the tackles, He is not a great short yardage runner, never has been. He's not necessarily a guy when you need even that tough run along the sideline. He's going to run out of bounds, and he's going to stay in bound and drop his shoulder. Tends to frequently enough be a guy who runs out of bounds, and that's been a frustrating aspect of his resume in previous stops here. But he is a very gifted open field playmaker, and it just a touchdown waiting to happen. And there were years where the Bears quarterback, Justin Fields, was kind of the only touchdown waiting to happen that they had on the field. And so now you have DeAndre Swift, you have DJ Moore, you have potentially Roma Dunze. And so this is where, as we evaluate where this Bears roster is, you start to wonder, what are the positions that need to be enhanced? What should Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, what should they really be prioritizing to try and turn the Bears into a real contender in this division? When you think about what the Bears have available to them with the resources that they can put into this roster, it's important to evaluate. I was talking about the draft in hour number two. Three of the first 41 picks in the draft. The number 10 pick, the number 39 pick, the number 41 pick. If we assume that the Bears don't end up trading out of those spots, which, depending on how the draft board falls, you can make a case that maybe the Bears trade out of 10 and move a little bit if none of the offensive tackles are off the board yet by the time they're on the clock at 10. Maybe you trade down to 12 or 13. You can still do something nice getting an offensive tackle. But, you know, that's a different discussion with a little more nuance to it for a later time. But, you know, if there's several excellent offensive tackles on the board there, maybe there's a case to make for that. But if we presume they're going to keep 10, 39, and 41 and draft players at all three of those spots, there is no reason to think that the Bears shouldn't come out with three starters at those picks. So if you can start to hit more consistently with the draft, which has obviously been an issue for Ryan Poles, but there's the potential to bolster each line of scrimmage with those three picks and have players who you would hope will be able to be immediately impactful. When you draft someone in the top 10, that should be an immediate impact player for you. And too frequently, over the time the Bears have drafted in the top 10 here over the past decade, let's call it, they've drafted some projects like Leonard Floyd, projects like Kevin White at receiver, certainly quarterbacks that they've drafted in the top 10. And that's, you know, you have a little bit more understanding and patience with that when you're drafting a QB in the top 10 or the top 5, where that's the type of position where there will be some development that's necessary for that. But this is a Bears roster that if you can bolster the line of scrimmage, you have every reason to be very confident in the secondary and the money that's been spent on this team and where it's been spent at. In some cases, has been spent wisely, but one of the things that Ryan Poles has done pretty well is even in players like Nate Davis, who he paid, but paid an amount of money that doesn't cripple the Bears' salary cap because they got to get away from Nate Davis. You know, it's unfortunate that you trade a second-round pick and bring in a receiver that does nothing for you as he did a couple of years ago. So it's unfortunate, but they were able to accumulate some additional draft capital afterwards, and that doesn't cripple the Bears' draft. So right now, over the cap says the Bears are going to have $55 million available in salary cap space. So that's a strong position to be in this version of the NFL. When you look at some of the highest paid players on the Bears team right now, you know, because right now the NFL salary cap is estimated to be over $272 million for this season. And in even going beyond effective salary cap space, and you look at the total cap space the Bears have available, it's expected to be around $63 million that they can spend on the roster. Just a little bit of dead money, just over $2 million in dead money of players that they're still paying who are no longer with the team. So that's just for 2025. And then for 2026, they're expected to have even more cap space available to them with money that won't that will be coming off the books that they won't have to guarantee to players anymore. So right now, some of the biggest contracts that the Bears have on the team for this coming season, most expensive player, and you know the number of what a player is making in his salary is one part of the number, but then how it's factored into the cap can be a different thing depending on some guarantees and some of the benefits of the roster, like escalators that'll be there for certain players. So Montez Sweat is the most expensive player on the Bears at over $25 million that he counts against the cap for this coming season. DJ Moore is number two on the Bears at just under $25 million, $24.9 that he'll count against the cap for this season. Then you have Jalen Johnson, number three, at $21 million even for this coming season. So you've got your pass rusher, your number one wide receiver, and your top corner. Three key positions, three positions that you understand the value that they have in the NFL. Now, you've invested deeply in your most expensive player with Montez Sweat, over $25 million. He'll kind of get the cap this year. That's where I think it's very unlikely that the Bears make any real attempt to do something for Myles Garrett. Even though Myles Garrett, yes, he's a better football player than Montez Sweat. Myles Garrett will likely end up in the Hall of Fame at some point. He's just that type of consistent force on the field and has the production to match it as well. So would he enhance the Bears' defense? Would he revitalize the Bears' defense? There's no doubt about that. But for the Bears to think they could go out and get a Myles Garrett and invest financially in Myles Garrett in the way that they would need to, then that's the type of player that would eat up so much of your cap space, and you would have your two starting defensive ends being two of the highest paid players in the sport in that case. The Bears aren't in a place right now where the rest of their roster is strong enough, the rest of their draft picks have hit well enough where they can sustain having so much of their salary cap just at the defensive end position. So the Myles Garrett thing is a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. That wouldn't make sense for the Bears to do that. Now, wide receiver. Right now with DJ Moore as a $25 million guy, essentially, I don't see Keenan Allen returning for another season. He effectively had a prove-it situation with the Bears. He showed he can still play, and he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So that opportunity to re-sign Keenan Allen is going to be there for the Bears, but it's going to be there for a bunch of other teams also, and it'll be there for teams who will likely be more willing to or be in a better position to invest, and not invest in a way where I think Keenan Allen would go to a contender and be their number one receiver, but a team who feels better situated at other spots, especially other spots that will still leave them funds available, leave them cap space available to invest. I'd just be really surprised if the Bears were willing to spend to keep Keenan Allen when they already have $25 million DJ Moore and their top 10 pick at wide receiver from last year. Now, as much as we look at Ben Johnson and think about the importance of him developing Caleb Williams as a quarterback, it can't be understated how important it's going to be for Ben Johnson and wide receiver coach Antoine Randall to develop Rome Odunze, because he's an impressive talent as a number nine pick in last year's draft. You know, I said it at the time. I thought it was gluttonous for the Bears to take a wide receiver in the top 10 after they had already gone out and gotten Keenan Allen, and they had DJ Moore, and they drafted a quarterback at number one, and they went out and signed DeAndre Swift. Like, there was a lot of offensive skill that was already focused on. And adding Rome Odunze into that mix, I liked the prospect, and I thought Rome Odunze was worthy of a top 10 pick. I just didn't think it was the best pick the Bears could have made in that moment. Jared Verse was the guy that I was angling for the Bears to take with that number nine pick. Jared Verse certainly had a fantastic rookie season. Rome Odunze showed potential as a rookie, but by comparison to some of these other young receivers in the sport, just frankly in a similar fashion to the way Caleb Williams gets compared to some of the other top young quarterbacks in the sport, there were other players like Brian Thomas, like Malik Nabers, who showed themselves as rookies that could come in and immediately be electrifying. And there wasn't a game this season that I left the game thinking, man, Rome Odunze looked like a problem for the opponents in that game. He certainly made plays, a lot of them of the contested catch variety. But what I would hope for in year two is that Ben Johnson finds a way to scheme Rome Odunze into some more explosive opportunities. And when Rome Odunze gets the football in his hands, just to see him look like a guy who showcased the ability in college football to be a great run after catch threat. to look like a running back in the open field, to show that burst, to run away from some defenders. You know, Roma Dunze is a, I was underwhelmed by his rookie season. I think there's more in there, and I'm hoping for that development to be showcased between Ben Johnson and Antoine Randall and Roma Dunze himself, the work that he'll need to put in to become a real quintessential playmaker, quintessential young playmaking receiver in the sport, and not have everything be, you know, fourth and medium, let's throw to the back hip of Roma Dunze and he makes a play. Like, those things are nice. And you throw him a contested ball in the red zone, if he can be that, your jump ball target, then yes, that's great, because the Bears don't have anyone else with that type of potential. But I think there's more to Roma Dunze than that, and I'm hoping his game will continue to expand. I certainly think there's the potential for that to be the case. But where the Bears are at from a cap perspective, you know, I mentioned the top three. The player who is right now most underperforming his salary, you can make a case for Cole Kmet. I don't think it's Cole Kmet. He's one of the higher paid tight ends in the sport. Just under $10 million a year is his salary, and the amount of the cap he eats up, eating up about $11.5 million of actual cap space this year. Cole Kmet's the fifth highest paid player on the Bears, but the fourth highest paid player is Tremaine Edmonds. He takes up nearly $17.5 million of the cap for this coming season. Now, in actual salary, he's just under $15 million for the 2025 season. And for an off-ball linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds is paid like one of the guys who should be one of the top playmakers in the sport. And he's just not that. And that's where, you know, you wonder if an offensive head coach coming in, then how does he evaluate that? You're not in a position for the Bears to say we're going to unload Tremaine Edmonds. And he hasn't been that bad where that's even worthy of consideration. But the fact that they have cap space available to spend, that's a good spot to be in. But if there's any position group where you look at it and say, man, did they overspend for a guy there right now? It does look like, you know, not as much Montez Sweat. I think there's been better production from Sweat than Edmonds. We've seen at least stretches of football where Montez Sweat has taken some games over. Can't really say that for Tremaine Edmonds. But free agents beyond Keenan Allen, who I don't think will be back, I'd be surprised if Tevin Jenkins is back this coming season just because of all the injury woes and the percentage of snaps, the amount of games that he's missed. Matt Pryor, as a rotational piece and who gives you some versatility both on the interior of the offensive line and on the outside as an edge, as a potential offensive tackle rotational piece, I think Matt Pryor is a guy who's worth keeping around because he's obviously not going to be a player that eats up a bunch of your salary cap. So that's actually a good position to be in if the Bears can keep Matt Pryor around, because he's shown he can fill in and be a starter and give you competent football if you keep him around. So there's money to spend and there's draft capital available for that as well. I was underwhelmed by Gerald Everett. Kevin Byard will continue to play in the NFL, but if you find a different starting safety, you know, for some sort of a cost-conscious sort of a contract, then I think that works also. DeMarcus Walker, I really thought he played well last season, and he's at a really agreeable number as it relates to last year, at least just over $5.25 million. And so I would like to see DeMarcus Walker back with the Bears. Again, you do need to find another pass rusher, though. And that's the thing. If it's a situational pass rusher who's just going to rush on third downs for you, that's fine. If it's a player who would actually be the starter, and maybe DeMarcus Walker becomes the situational, versatile guy, like, you know, just kind of the role I was talking about Matt Pryor filling on the Bears offensive line, DeMarcus Walker would be a souped-up version of that for the Bears defensive line, because he's certainly a better football player than Matt Pryor, but he can give you some defensive tackle on rundowns. He can certainly play defensive end for, or a defensive tackle on passing downs, and be a defensive end for you who plays the run really well also. But the attitude that he plays with, I do think he's that type of player that some of the teammates can feed off of well, because he just plays hard and tough, and the Bears defense needs more of that more consistently. So as far as areas of focus to get, like we were talking about Caleb Johnson earlier in the show, to get a running back in the draft would be great, but the line of scrimmage as a focal point for the Bears will certainly have to be where they expend a lot of their resources, both in the draft and in free agency. And that's where a name like Trey Smith that's come up so much, and the expectation with today being the first opportunity that you have to franchise tag players, it does sound like there's more momentum moving towards, you know, the the expectation that players will be, that Trey Smith will be one of these players who gets franchise tagged by his current team, the Chiefs. But if he's not and he hits the open market, then yes, the Bears would be desperate for a player of that stature to end up joining the team. And fortunately for them, they've got plenty of cap space available to be able to spend to bring someone like that in, someone who can be that tone setter for you that everyone describes Trey Smith as being in the time he spent in Kansas City. Am I bothered by the Super Bowl performance? No. They got overwhelmed by a deep and talented pass rush in Philadelphia, and Trey Smith, you know, got beat a couple of times in the game, but he's shown himself over the course of games from this season, of several seasons that he's been in the NFL, as one of the top players in the sport, one of the top interior offensive linemen. So even if, like we were talking earlier about the Bears potentially drafting an offensive guard, you know, if it's a Donovan Jackson out of Ohio State or anyone else as an offensive guard, that should not preclude them from signing a veteran, a high-dollar veteran, a proven commodity on the interior of their offensive line as well. They've got to take a number of swings to get things right up front. And frankly, I think it's a little bit up in the air. Which one is the bigger priority to fix, the O-line or the D-line? In my mind right now, I'm giving a slight edge to the O-line as the true priority, but I don't put the D-line as a far second, because they got to have guys who affect the game, who affect the quarterback in a better and more consistent way, with more depth along that defensive line than where they're at right now. Because with the guys they've drafted fairly early, we just saw the second season of a couple of their young interior defensive linemen in Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens. Jervon Dexter showed flashes, made some sacks early, but he's not a consistent force. And Zach Pickens wasn't even dressing late in the season. That is not a position you want to be in with the way that that talent has been evaluated, to have a player in his second year in the NFL, second year with your franchise as a third round pick who's inactive in closing out his second season with the Bears. I had higher hopes than that for Zach Pickens, and obviously Ryan Poles did as well. I was referencing earlier, big offseason for Caleb Williams, big offseason for Rome Odunze. It's a really big offseason for a couple of these young third-year defensive linemen in Dexter and Pickens to be able to turn into something the Bears should be able to feel like they can count on moving forward in the seasons to come, because neither one of them has proven that so far. We've at least seen Dexter making some plays here. We really haven't even seen Pickens doing that, and that was one of the more surprising inactives late in the season to me, seeing Zach Pickens just frequently standing on the sidelines. That one's really, really surprising in the results of that. So it's just kind of a look at what the Bears have available to spend, just financially, where things sit for them leading into in the midst of the offseason, because now the NFL, the franchise tag opportunities are now available. So we're in the midst of that portion of the offseason where teams can use their franchise tags on players. And so as we start to see that news churn, the Bears don't have anyone they would be looking to franchise tag, I don't believe, in-house right now, but they'll certainly be paying attention to other players who may be franchise tagged by their organizations, because that'll impact how the Bears will go about negotiating for trying to acquire those other players and bring them into Chicago. One segment to go here. We'll get back to a little bit of baseball, because there was some sound earlier after the Cubs made their announcement about Shota Imanaga getting the opening day start. And I want you to be able to hear from Jed Hoyer specifically on that topic and some of the things that went into that decision. We'll talk a little bit of baseball as we close things out here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It's going to be quite a showcase 1 month from today when the Cubs face the Dodgers over in Japan in the Tokyo Series. And the first pitch is going to feature the player, the pitcher I like to call Showtime, Shota Imanaga, on the mound for the Cubs. But between the two squads, the talent that will be there, the Japanese-born talent with Shohei Ohtani, Seiya Suzuki, Roki Sasaki, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and Shota Imanaga, all these different players out there in the Tokyo Series between the Cubs and the Dodgers. It's going to be a lot of fun just to see the worldwide impact and influence that that can have. And I think for all those players, I would imagine it's got to be extremely exciting for them to know that they'll be able to showcase their skills back in their home country And, happy for them and happy that the Cubs are having the opportunity to be involved in that. And, they hadn't announced for sure which game Shota Imanaga was going to start. We knew he would start one of those games. And as the Cubs just continued to sort of piece things together with, how they would use the starters and which game the starters, wouldn't necessarily be starting because you just got two games over there. So it's not just going to be the starter who starts the game. Then there'll be starters who come in relief as well and just kind of try to keep them on a manageable timeline. But then the bullpen as well. Assuming it's Justin Steele who starts the other game, then you'll have the bullpen be heavily involved there. So it's kind of going to be one game where it's a bunch of starters and one game where it's a bunch of guys in the bullpen. But the very first game, the opening game, will be Shota Imanaga, and the Cubs finally made that announcement today that it would be Showtime taking the bump. And Jed Hoyer in the first really extended media availability of spring training. He was out there today, and that was one of the things that he announced.
Yeah, I think either he and Steele, they both deserve it, so to speak. I think obviously because we're going to be in Japan, it makes total sense to have Shota go in game one. I think it's going to be awesome, honestly. I think they're starting Yamamoto. We're starting, Shota. I think that you look at that game we played in September. And the fan interest, worldwide fan interest, is going to be off the charts. I think it's an awesome thing just for the game of baseball. Dave Roberts and I were talking about that the other night. This is great for the game. And, what better thing to have those two guys face off in game one, Shohei, with Seiya in the lineup. And it's awesome. And I think, like I said, baseball is going to benefit from this.
One of the things I was talking to Elise Menaker about earlier in the show, I cannot stress enough just how impressive I found the energy and the exuberance that Shota Imanaga immediately took the mound with and kind of took Wrigley with in just kind of commanding the stage, commanding the expectations of being a pitcher for the Chicago Cubs. And, the first extended time he had spent in the U.S. and doing it for the Cubs and just seeming so comfortable and confident and joyous in how he handled all of that. So, I've seen the text coming in and, certainly took a couple of callers on it a bit earlier. The idea of going to spring training. We'll see. I may do that. If I go to spring training, I'm going to try to make it a point to go out to Mesa in a period where Shota is going to be on the mound. But whether I make it to spring training or not, I'm definitely going to make it a point to go watch him pitch in person this season. Because the games I went to at Wrigley last season, Shota wasn't pitching for any of them. So I have to make that a very specific and concerted effort because I got to go see Showtime on the mound. It's too fun to watch it on television. And I would imagine the energy, the electricity in Wrigley on the days that he pitches, especially in a season like this. If the Cubs are closer to what their projections are for this season as a team, then all that energy is going to be a lot of fun to be able to check that out. I got to make sure I make it a point to go and do that. But congratulations to Shota Imanaga, all those other Japanese-born players who are going to be over there doing their thing in the Tokyo series. Appreciations to all of you for listening in. Of course, thanks to my guests, Elise Menaker, Chad Ryder, Steve Weiss, and Pete Futek. Thanks as well to Alex Kuhn and, a.k.a. Joe from Granger for calling in about Caleb Johnson last night. Appreciate you being on the ones and twos for me tonight, A.K. And as always, appreciations and salutations for all of you listening in to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.